It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. Hope you're having a great start to your day and your week. He's Big Joe Dubin. I am Chase McCabe. Excited to be with you today. We're on location. We're out in Gallatin, Sumner County, and proud to be a part of the Playhouse Project. And there's a lot of different people involved in this, but Habitat for Humanity, so doing some good things. You're going to hear construction in the background today, a lot of hammering and drilling and things like that. Joe, this is awesome to be here.
It is. Good Monday, Chase. It's good to see you, buddy. Yeah, so they're building playground or playhouses for families out here in Sumner County, and we'll be joined by Kate Ritchie here in just a few moments to let us know exactly what all goes into the day, because talking about a community project, man, there's a ton of people here today at the Habitat for Humanity. I guess this is their headquarters here in Sumner County, to come together to build these playhouses for these families. So it's good to see the spirit of volunteering and just people come together for a greater cause.
Well, we're at their ReStore is what they call it, which is like their warehouse. And you can see all the things they have in here, cabinets and carpets and doors and whatnot that, you know, go into building these houses.
Whatnot, exactly.
So. Conversate and whatnot.
Conversate and whatnot all day long on the show. So
yeah, so
we'll do that.
So we'll tell you more about that. Sad one Friday night. Predator season comes to an end. Fantastic hockey game. 0-0 until like the last minute and a half. Vancouver scores. Just a dagger. Thought the Predators played great. UC Soros played great. Just one of those things that you knew it was going to be the first one to score would win, and Vancouver did it, and Predators were unable to tie it up. Season comes to an end.
I know, they go 6-on-4 there in the last, 30, 40 seconds, whatever it was.
And there was one sequence where I thought they had it.
Man, just by crashing the net. But kudos to Vancouver for weathering the storm and moving on. But, I mean, now you kind of evaluate the Nashville Predators season. I think they overachieved.
Yep.
I think they really did. A year ago, you got a new head coach, new general manager. Team is in kind of a disarray to make the playoffs. Now you take one of the best teams in hockey. I mean, you fought them every game.
Yep.
Every game. And so now you've got these great building blocks of going forward. Interesting offseason coming on. Who are you going to add? Who's going to say goodbye? I mean, the UC Soros thing. I think he's gone. Personally, I think he's gone.
Well,
and they're not going to ask me, but I think there's a lot of doubt that's seeped in. You know, he played his tail off. Don't get me wrong. But I
don't know if it's doubt. I just think it's the future. You got to think about the future. Like, what is the better fit for the future? Is it a long-term deal with UC Soros, who you know, or is it going ahead and putting everything on Yaroslav Askarov, who's the goalie phenom? Everybody thinks he's the goalie phenom, that young prospect that's now looking to lead the Admirals through their playoffs.
Right.
You know, do you go ahead and turn the keys to the car over to him? Because, unfortunately, I don't think you're going to be able to get what you did with Soros, where he had a few years with Pekka. They were able to, you know, Rene was able to mentor him for a few years, and then you were able to turn it over to him. You're not going to have that luxury with Askarov. You could potentially do it for this year, but it's going to be really hard to do that because you want to be able to capitalize on getting as much for UC Soros as you possibly can, and moving on from him this summer would be the way to do that.
They're also in a good place. You know, there's not like 18 holes that the Titans have to fill in and everything. You plug in a few people, and this team's right back where they are. Even if they don't make a lot of changes, this hockey team under the tutelage of Trotz and Brunette are back where they are, and it well deserves. So the future's bright. I mean, it could be you could be Columbus. You could be a lot of other franchises that aren't doing well right now. The Predators are on solid ground.
They are. All right, let's talk a little bit more about what we're doing here today out in Sumner County. Kate Ritchie joins us now. Kate, thanks so much for having us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate y'all being here.
Yeah, of course. So this, obviously, we're excited to be involved in this and getting the word out. There's going to be some building going on in this warehouse today.
Yes, today we are building 8 playhouses. We have 7 companies that are going to be building these 8 playhouses, and then we're going to give them to kids in our community at the end of the day.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Just don't ask us to help build.
Right.
If you don't mind.
Yeah. You know, they didn't ask me to help build either.
Well, yeah. Good then. We can sit over here and observe.
I know what I'm good at, and that's talking.
Right.
Yeah.
What is your title?
So I'm the CEO.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of Sumner County.
Of Habitat Sumner County.
And
yes.
Talk about the far-reaching work you guys do, not just building playhouses on a Monday, but the work you guys do.
Right. Here. So our mission is to build homes, community, and hope. So right now we are building a neighborhood where we're building 10 affordable houses right here in Gallatin. In addition to home building, we also repair homes. So we do critical home repairs for families that are 60 or older, families that have disabilities, or veterans.
All right, you guys never stop working.
No, absolutely not. I feel like I'm on an adrenaline rush right now because we have not stopped. We just closed on a house last week, starting the next two houses next week. It's a lot.
Talk about and the volunteering and the different companies that are here today to help out, because they don't have to be here.
I mean, the Preds are here. It looks like the Titans are involved.
Yeah, we have the Preds, Titans, Hajoka, STR, Pella. I'm missing some people. Highball.
See, I just read the
yes,
the banner. Read
the banner with the sponsors on it. Thanks. That is helpful. So we have some great companies that have come out to help build these houses. It gives them an opportunity to do some team building within their company. And then the sponsorship turns around and helps fund the actual houses that we move people into.
Wow.
How rewarding is it to go through this day? And it's going to be a long day, and there's a lot of planning that goes into this. But at the end of the day, when you look around in here and you're going to see these playhouses that the kids are going to be able to enjoy, that's what you do this for,
y'all,
right?
The faces on these children when they come and see, this is our second time to do this. So just thinking back to last year when they came and just the excitement, all these playhouses are themed. They submitted what theme they wanted the playhouse to
be. Nice.
So, you know, there might be a bakery, there might be a fire station or a palace. So everything's going to be different. And the kids are really surprised. They don't know what it's going to look like. So they get to be surprised. And
they get to enjoy this for years.
Yes, absolutely. Enjoy it for years.
Go ahead. We're talking to Kate Ritchie. She's the CEO of the Habitat for Humanity, Sumner County. Beyond today, what else? What are critical needs that you guys have?
Really critical needs, and they're big needs. So it's a big ask. Funding and land. We need to build more, affordable housing. It's a nationwide crisis that there's not enough houses for lower income families. Mm-hmm. So we definitely need funding, and we need land to build.
What's the most rewarding part of your job?
Handing the keys to somebody that has worked really hard for our home building. They buy the Habitat house. We just have really affordable mortgages. They do 9 to 12 months of financial education classes, home ownership classes, learning how to repair their home, and then turning those keys over. It's very rewarding.
That's awesome. Kate, thanks so much for having us. We'll be checking in and getting some progress reports throughout the day, because we'll be here until 2 o'clock. But looking forward to seeing the building going on.
Thank you all for being here.
Yes,
appreciate
thank you,
it.
Kate. You're the best. Thank
absolutely.
You. Yeah, again, the dedication, all the companies that are here today to help out and build this is, everybody, again, that's why we love Middle Tennessee. So many people go above and beyond themselves to help other people out, and this is the great thing
and
about
that's what
community.
We love. You know, people ask, what's the best part of our job? It's getting to do stuff like this.
Absolutely, man.
You know, I mean, we get to go to different cool events and talk to cool people and everything, but you know, that's one big thing that I've learned from you and you know, our owner, Bud Walters, of being able to serve and give back to the community, and that's what we're doing today. So
yeah, I mean, you gotta hyper-local, man. Both of you and I are like this. You got to take care of the community in your backyard and then build outward from there, and we're blessed to live in a great community all over Middle Tennessee of great people. I mean, it's getting packed in here, and people taking off work today. They could take off work and go to the pool and sit out, and there's all kind of people here today.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll keep you apprised of the progress throughout the day here. But, again, talking about the Predators and reacting to their season coming to an end and what is next for them. I don't envy Barry Trotz. I was on with our friend Jill Jelnick, Fox 17, last night, and I said that. Like, I do not envy Barry Trotz, because the toughest decision I think he's going to have to make in his tenure will be what to do with UC Soros.
Yeah, but I think a general manager of Barry Trotz, I think you know tough decisions have to be made.
Sure.
And you don't blink. Yeah. You make those tough decisions and move forward. I mean, look, Barry Trotz is not here to be UC Soros' best friend.
No.
There's
he's here to win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I mean, there's a respect factor obviously here, but you can't let feelings get in the way, because that's when you get shown the door.
Right.
So, there's some big decisions. But when does this have to be made? Not for a while, right?
Well, I mean, I think you got to make it by the draft. I mean, if you're going to trade in, then the draft time is the best time to do that.
So it's what, 6 weeks?
Yeah, the end of June.
End of
June. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're right after the cup final, so if you're going to come to the decision, and I think a lot of the decisions that he is going to make in the offseason are all connected to if UC Saros is here or not. Because the other thing you have to think about, too, is if they do trade Saros, then it's not going to be just Askarov. Like, he's not ready today to be a 60-game, you know, starting goaltender.
So let's go back to June of 2016. Did you have any inkling Shea Weber was going to get traded?
No. That that was the biggest – that's still, to me, the biggest surprise and probably the most defining move in David Poyle's tenure as GM in Nashville Predators history.
Because it came the day after Pat Summitt had passed away. So it was all like, that's oh, right. You know, we're like, oh, my gosh, how had Pat Summitt passed away? I never forget walking the newsroom at Channel 4. Somebody said, oh, by the way, Shea Weber's got traded for P.K. Subban. I'm like, it's not April Fool's. Stop it. Then you realize,
yeah,
holy cow.
So I've told this story before. At the time, our midday show was Darren McFarlane, Derek Mason. And I'm producing the show. We're closing out the show. There's probably 3 minutes left in the show. And our PD at the time, Jeremy Benefield and Ryan Porth, come running into the control room, like, freaking out.
What, Benefield was running?
Yeah. and go,
must have been
the Predators just traded Shea Weber. And I literally, like, I had thoughts in my head. I had words I wanted to say, but I couldn't speak.
Yeah.
I was like, huh? And so I did the talk back to Darren, and I said, Prez just traded Weber for P.K. Subban. And, like, he looked at me and go, like, what? Like, you're kidding, right? So
what a day.
Started the whole, like, okay, well, here's what's going to happen. And I'll never forget sitting in that room, the press conference, they had it in a meeting room with Poyle. And, you know, Poyle had said, like, I never want to trade Shea Weber.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
But. So I asked him, you know, you have been very hesitant to do this. Why is this the right move? And he's like, because Pete, you know, I have to make these moves in order to put this team in a position to win the Stanley Cup. And Shea Weber's a great player, and P.K. Subban's a great player, and fits what Peter Laviolette, who's the coach at the time, wants to do. And unfortunately, to get a great player, you have to give up a great player.
Yeah.
But you could tell, like, that was the toughest decision he's ever made.
Well, I mean, they go to the Stanley Cup.
But it was the right one.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why because of that.
They don't go with – I mean, no offense to Shea Weber. They don't go to the Cup final the next year without making the
move. I agree. And that's why, you know, when somebody gets traded, I'm not shocked anymore. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to trade Roman Josi, but if Roman Josi got traded, I'd be like, okay, I'm not shocked.
Right.
Because you traded the iconic guy at the time in your franchise. So.
I would not recommend that move right now, but you're right. 615-737-1025, your reaction to the Predators' loss on Friday. Their season is over. What is next for the Nashville Predators? We'll discuss that. Max Herz is going to join us at 9:30. He's been with the team all year, and through this playoff run, we'll get his thoughts on that and much more. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. Chasing Big Joe here on this Monday, 102.5, 106.3 the game. You want to weigh in. The Predators season coming to an end, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're out in Gallatin today at the Habitat for Humanity's Restore, part of the Playhouse Project. You're going to hear some building going on in the background here in just a little bit. Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing Heating and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership. Well, the buzz is always about great service.
Remember when Homer built Bart the a shed in the backyard and it was awful? And it collapsed.
Anything Homer built was awful.
That's why we're not building today.
Remember in the movie, he's replacing the shingles on his roof.
All right.
And he keeps nailing like the shingles into his knee or his hand or something.
Oh, man.
Like,
yes. Oh,
that stuff cracks me up for sure. But what is next for the Preds? You know, Saros aside, obviously that's going to be the biggest move they need to make. I've heard Robbie Stanley say this multiple times, and he's right. Now, everybody wants to be like, oh, this is such a young team. They really aren't. because the key players, you know, Forsberg's almost 30. Yossi's 33. Then you added O'Reilly, Nyquist, and Shin, McDonough. Like, they're not a young team. They have some young players, but they're going to need those guys to develop more, and hopefully you'll get Kimmel and some others from Milwaukee. But this team does need to look at getting younger, and so that's the question. When you overachieve, you know, everybody – I equate this to UT. When UT was number one in the country and they lost to Georgia and they were knocking on the door of being in the playoff, and, you know, we know that what happened with that South Carolina game and they missed the opportunity, but I think everybody would look at that year and said, you know what, they overachieved.
Okay.
Well, when you overachieve, what happens? The expectations change. And the fan base then goes, oh, well, they got to this point, so that means next year they're going to get to this point. Well, it doesn't always work that way when you overachieve. You know, the Titans did that in 99. You know, now the next year they did have a better team and unfortunately came up short. So are the Predators going to be able to take that step forward? Is Barry Trotz going to look at this year and go, you know what? We're closer than I thought we were. Let's go for it. You know, we still got our plan of we got some young guys that we're developing, but I got some draft picks to work with. I got a ton of cap space to work with. You know, maybe keeping Saros is the way to go and, you know, go ahead and sign him and then add and just go for it now. He could do that because I think he saw that this team is better than initially thought. But then he could also say, no, I'm going to stick to the plan. The plan is building for the future. You move on from Saros. Maybe you move on from one of the veterans that's on your team to make room for a young guy, and then you take a step back to keep to the original plan.
Why don't we move guys out? Why do we, when you're 30, we say you're done? I'm looking at the Preds 2017 team right now. They had a lot of guys around 30. A little older than that contributed. I disagree
that was when their core was really, like, hitting their stride.
I know, but I disagree with, like, he's 32, get rid of him. So you get rid of him for a guy who's 24 who might have some potential, and you know what you got out of the third. I don't subscribe to that. And I don't think Roman Yossi looks in the mirror every day and goes, God, I'm 33 years old. Or Forsberg's like, God, I'm 30. Athletes don't do that. I think DeAndre Hopkins says, I'm going to be 32 this year. I'm going to slow down. No, I hate when people talk about when athletes hit 30 years old, they're done. Tom Brady broke that narrative. I mean, Manning broke that narrative. A lot of guys do that. They're more in shape now and smarter, and the technique's better. So I just hate that. Well, he's 30.
I agree with what you're saying. I don't think you're wrong. I
hate that.
But I mean, the fact of the matter is the core of this team right now is over the age of 30.
Okay.
And so you have to decide if you're Barry Trotz, are you cool with that? Do you feel like that you can add to this core and win a Stanley Cup in the next year or two? I mean, right now, like, we were all excited that they made the playoffs. Nobody thought they were going to win the Cup this year.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Preds season. You know where I'm going with this. You know how I feel about this. Disappointment.
If you are – yeah, no, and I said it last night. Yeah. There are 31 teams that fail, one team succeeds.
Correct. To me, it is a disappointment. Now, you can break it down like, well, they made the playoffs, they got experience. So, yeah, in that way, it's successful. To me, success is determined by – Yeah, exactly, exactly. Good point. Is by a championship. And only one team's going to walk away this year saying, we did it all, and we were fantastic. That's just the way it is. So never be satisfied because you got – and I don't think Barry Trotz is.
Nobody's satisfied.
Right.
But, like, I look at things – I always try to be a realist, all right? And realistically speaking – they weren't going to win the Cup this year. Like, one of the best teams that I thought had a good chance to win the Cup got eliminated last night because of the way the playoff draw worked. Vegas.
Okay.
You know, I think Toronto is an extremely talented team. Now, they got other issues, and, you know, they're probably going to blow some stuff up.
What happened there?
They lost to Boston in overtime. But they got a lot of me guys on that team. And
Toronto?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you need we guys, not me guys.
Well, I'll be honest. With the Predators out, I'm done with hockey. So I'll rely on you to fill me in what's going on.
That's fine. Like, I think Dallas is probably the best team remaining.
And who are they playing next?
They are playing
Colorado?
Yes.
Ah, Juju. Okay.
Because you have Vancouver and Edmonton.
Okay.
Excuse me. But
you okay, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm smoking.
Yeah, no, I don't smoke. But you got to, you know, now you got to decide what direction you want to go. And that's what I think Barry Trotz is going to spend the next few weeks looking at of, with the mix of young talent that's coming through the pipeline
right.
in Milwaukee, plus what could be available at free agency, do you use your assets and build to go for it, you know, in the next year or two?
Because
the big part of that, here's the only reason why I'd be thinking about that. Something that you were just talking about. Forsberg and Yossi are still in the window.
Yeah.
Do you want to waste that window on maybe potentially taking a step back and sticking to the plan, knowing that you don't have you have less years of good than you do than you do the bad, you know what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Left with those two guys.
I think you always try to strive to get to the championship and win things and get it done and do that. But I think Barry Trotz has a plan, you know, and Barry Trotz knows what he's going to do. And I think this franchise is in great hands with Barry Trotz going forward. And now, you know, the proof is always going to be on the ice. Now we got to wait till October to see how this all comes together. You know, it's going to be interesting offseason who they add and who they let go. But I think this place is far better than it was a year ago. Far better.
Oh, 100%. Look, there. You got to be happy with the progress.
I'm happy. I mean, like your progression's been fantastic.
Well,
over the years.
Thank you so much. I mean, you've been a big part of that.
So I'm like your Barry Trotz.
You are,
and you're like my Roman Yossi.
I try.
I'm not going to trade you because you're getting older. Even though you want me to trade you, I'm not trading you.
I don't want you to trade me.
You're sticking around, man.
Put me out to pasture. But
do that.
You don't have to trade me for sure. Right. But I'm curious of what everybody else thinks. 615-737-1025. Hair Metal Henry makes a very good point. 5 for 22 on the power play probably wins that series. I think they were 2 for 22 on the power play. I mean, that is the difference, too. If they connect on the power play more, they win that series.
Let me ask you this, because you know I don't know anything about hockey. 6-on-4 considered a power play when they move when the goalie comes out and then, yeah, because the Vancouver,
yeah.
Okay, that's a power play, right? 6-on-4?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, no, it. Yeah, 6-on-4, yeah.
6-on-5. I know 6-on-5 is not, but,
right.
but
yeah,
they
yeah.
lost a player, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Donovan makes an interesting text here that triggered me a little bit. I think the Predators would still be playing if they had kept Matt Duchene. Imagine Matt Duchene on a line with Luke Evangelista and Tommy Norwood. I think you mean Tommy Novak. Tommy Norwood. I'm going to respectfully disagree with you, Donovan. There is a reason that you either get it or you don't of why Trotz made that move to buy out Matt Duchene. He fixed the culture. Matt Duchene didn't fix the culture. I'm not saying Matt Duchene's a bad guy.
What are you saying then?
He just didn't fit the culture that Barry Trotz wanted. That I think there was a concern that he was more into being in Nashville and the life in Nashville and things like that. You know, the comments that Barry Trotz made of, I want players to come here to win, not to retire. I felt like a lot of that was geared towards Matt Duchene. So I'm going to disagree. I think it was the right move to move on from Matt Duchene. Whether they'd still be in or not if he's here, I'm going to say it probably wouldn't have mattered. Because
okay.
I didn't trust him in the big moments. Now, he's done well with Dallas, and he's played in the big moments. Maybe he got humbled being bought out here, and it lit something in him. I hope it did. But, yeah, I'm going to disagree. I think it was the right move to move on from Matt Duchene. We'll continue to take your reaction to the Predators' loss. Max Herz going to join us coming up next. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show. We're live at Restore Habitat for Humanity of Sumner County out here in Gallatin today. They're going to be building playhouses throughout the day for families in Sumner County. We'll tell you more about that throughout the day here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotels and 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. We're live from Restore in Gallatin for Habitat for Humanity. They're building playhouses. Playhouse Project is what it's called. Usually, you know, we were just talking to some people during the break from Habitat for Humanity. They're usually building houses. It's a, you know, a larger scale project, but building playhouses for kids. They will present these playhouses later today to kids here in Sumner County. So very, very cool to be a part of this. But unfortunately, reacting to the Predators season coming to an end, we say hello now to Max Herz, pre- and post-game host for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. And Max, you felt the electricity Friday night. You know what it was like there. I was there. And, you know, it just kind of had that feeling that they were going to keep this thing going, and perhaps we'd be talking to you this morning about a Game 7 result. Unfortunately, that was not the case, and the season has come to an end.
Yeah, yeah. Morning, guys. Tough one to go out on for sure. Thought the Preds played pretty well and probably had what it took to win that game, especially from their goalie. And as everybody on this radio station has said over the last week, if you got it back to Game 7, it's pretty much a coin flip from there. Well, Game 6 was pretty much a coin flip too, and Preds lost the flip right in the last couple minutes. So, yeah, tough one to take. We really saw this Preds team potentially get into the second round, and who knows if that would have been overachieving. But the way they looked, it looked like at times they deserved to win that series. And, yeah, I think that they left us leaving a little more just from the series. I mean, we got greedy here with how good they looked at the end of the season, but I think we have every right to be.
Sure. And, you know, you use that word overachieve, and I think sometimes people hear that and they – you know, they almost think it's a bad thing, but I look at it as it's a good thing. Andrew Burnett said multiple times, hey, we're not supposed to be here. And this team did a lot better than a lot of people thought that they would. I think that's just a building block that they have to move forward. Now, the question is, how does Barry Trotz want to proceed? Does he want to kind of stick to the plan of trying to get younger and maybe, you know, even though we added some serial winners and, you know, trying to fix the culture, does he want to try and get younger and maybe move on from Saros and give Askarov the keys to the car? Or does he think that this team is further along than he thought they were going to be and try and add and go for it? Now, that's the big question to me in the offseason.
Yeah, and they've already got 10 forwards under contract for next year. That's kind of where my focus goes in terms of who stays where. I think they would like Zach LaRue to make the team from the beginning next year as a prospect if he earns it. I think Joachim Kimmel maybe somewhere along the way. So they've got some decisions to make in terms of whether or not they bring on NHL free agents at that position, whether they shop any of the guys who are under contract, and what they think about some of the guys who they may want to keep. I mean, Jared Anderson Dolan's been here for 2 months. He played in one game, but they made it clear that they like him. Where does a guy like that sit going into next season to potentially get legitimate playing time? Did Jason Zucker earn another contract if both sides want him to stay? On D, you're pretty set. The big decision is whether or not you give any offers to Alex Carrier, who's a UFA. But if not, you still have a full D core. And then, like you said, Chase, goalie is the one that's going to be making headlines, and I imagine that decision, if there were or were not to be a trade, gets made around the draft, so you know what you're doing going into free agency. But I imagine we'll hear from Barry Trotz this week in an end-of-season press conference, and of course he'll be asked about it, and we'll see what he says. I don't think he'll shy away from giving at least some of his thoughts.
Yeah, and you mentioned Zucker. I would – talk to him about an extension. I think he fit really, really nicely with this team and with the culture and with everything that they're wanting to do. That was a really good trade deadline acquisition, and I would have no issues at all if they brought him back.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of whether or not you think you've already got enough. It wouldn't be anything saying that he's not a fit, because I agree with you, and I thought so from the moment the Preds got him. But does that slow down the potential full-time NHL career of someone like Igor Afanasyev? And if so, maybe you don't bring someone in for what would be his age 33 season, and you give Igor or someone else his chance.
Talking to our good friend Max Herbs. Max, I'm the Pollyanna guy on the panel today. Tell me the best story out of this 2023-24 Nashville Predators team.
Oh, man. That's a good question. I was actually thinking about some of the funny moments we'd had on radio over the course of the year, because we try to have some fun stuff, and I'd like to think that we do as good a job of that as anybody in terms of finding the funny stories for the team, and a lot of folks in the media here did a great job with fun stuff this year. I think my favorite one may have been, I think it was in December, when Cole Smith got in a fight with Austin Watson, playing for the Lightning, obviously former Pred. And I don't know how much this had been known publicly before that happened, but Cole Smith and Tommy Novak, along with Luke Evangelista for a little, rent Austin Watson's old house from him during his season here at Nashville. And I'd heard about it because last year a different player had lived there, but it wasn't someone who was kind of here the whole season. So I had heard that that's who was there this season, and like obviously it's a story if players are roommates, regardless of who they're renting from. Like that's a cool story. Like these guys are on a line together and they live together, whatever it is. But we had Phil Tomasino on in Barrel House after the game, and before we went on, I was like, does Cole Smith still live in Austin Watson's house? And he's like, yeah, I think he does. Like, that's kind of funny, right? But then we had Nashville Live the next week, and it was Novak and Smith, the roommates, together on the show. And I was like, all right, we're definitely talking about this. And apparently Novak said something about it before the game to Smith. He was just like, hey, what if you get in a fight with our landlord tonight? And Smith's exact quote, I'm going to try to remember what it was because it was, no pun intended, incredible wordsmithing by Cole. He said, well, if it happens, it happens, and it happened to happen.
Oh, that's
so
fantastic.
I just thought that whole thing was hilarious.
Who was one player, though, Max, that you were really just you loved their success on the ice this year, who probably a year ago it's like, eh, but just to you was like, man, this is great. He's a good guy, good kid, had a great season. I'm really happy for him.
Well, he's not a kid because he's – none of them are really kids. But I would say probably Kiefer Sherwood I really enjoyed watching this season. He played in the NHL. He's now played in the NHL each of the last six seasons, which, I mean, is incredible in its own right. But he was always, like, AHL top-line guy. He was a quadruple-A guy in a lot of ways. He scored a ton of goals in the AHL, but had never spent a full season in the NHL without going down. And he broke camp with the Preds last year, but ended up going back down in November and didn't come back up till, I think, March last season. And this year he was on the team the whole way, played in almost every game, was on that incredible fourth line down the stretch. And he's another guy who's an unrestricted free agent this summer. And the Preds have already given contracts to everybody else in basically the same role as him. McCarron, Smith, Jankowski all got extensions during the season. So I think you'd think if they knew they wanted to keep Sherwood for sure, they probably would have given him an offer already. Or maybe he wants to go to free agency. Who knows? But I think that would be my answer this year, just because – you could tell how much it meant to him to spend the entire season in the NHL and how intense he gets and how much every moment means to him. Like, he is authentic, live and die with it. Like the way you phrased that question, Joe, led me right to him because of how special you could tell what he achieved was for him.
Well, you know, that's good. Sorry, Chase. You know, when you cover, and, you know, I got accused of this when I was in TV. When you cover a team the whole year, they're guys that you fall in love with. I mean, you want to see them success. You want to just everything about those. And so I just know you've been with this team, kind of embedded with the team, and there's stories that aren't on page one, per se, that you see every day that are really important. And that's a great story about him.
Yeah, I agree. Like you and Logan Ryan, right? That was your guy?
Oh man. That's
a good one.
I'd love to go to Logan Ryan roast. They'd kick me out after the first joke.
Well, yeah, what streaming service is that on, Joe?
That's going to be on Tubi.
The Unathletic. You can find it on The Unathletic.
They're pivoting to video. That's great.
Yes. Max, appreciate it as always. Great job in year number two for you doing this, and I look forward to big things from you as well. But we'll obviously be catching up with you throughout the off season because I have a feeling Barry Trotz and company are going to be a little busy.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Whatever you need, I'm here. I'll come hang.
Yeah, for sure. He is Max Hurst joining us, the Nashville Predators Radio Network, and appreciate him. And It's onward and upward, on to the next thing.
That's
now
it,
with the Predators, and I think that they'll look at that. Look at this as a building block. That's the best way that I can describe it.
I like it. Do our question of the day.
Yes, you have a question, and I like this.
All right, our question of the day is, take yourself from now to a year from now, whose flame is burning out in the sports world? And I'm going to tell you mine right now so you can have kind of a see where we're going with this. Deion Sanders' flame is burning out as we speak right now. And I'm going to tell you why, but we want to hear from you. Whose flame is burning out in the sports world? 615-737-1025.
Mine has, I think the one I'm going to give when we come back has been burning out, but it is burning out. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game here on this Monday. We're live at Restore Habitat for Humanity of Sumner County here in Middle Tennessee. They're building playhouses today for families in Sumner County. Habitat is partnering with sponsors to provide children with a safe place to play and imagine with a safe home and what safe homes mean to them. And the funds raised today will go towards building more affordable housing in Sumner County. So happy to be a part of this. But our question of the day, JoJo.
Yeah, whose flame in the sports world is just burning out? And I'm going to go with Deion Sanders. Look, you know, Deion, he's been brash and all the good stuff. But, you know, you saw last year at the spring game, there's like 70,000 people there in Colorado. This year there was like 8,000 people there. And now the story that came out a few days ago about this guy that was played at Colorado, he went to Austin Peay actually, transferred to Colorado, Xavier Smith, told a story published on Monday last month, a week ago, that Deion Sanders never even tried to get to know me. He was destroying guys' confidence and belief in themselves. And then Shedeur Sanders, his son, goes on Twitter and says, bro, to be very mid at best, insinuating Smith was only an average player. And then Deion hops into this. And, look, we see these things about Deion, the guys going there. And, you know, when he first got there, it was like, you know, you in Louis Vuitton and you need to pack and get out of town. And that's all funny and good stuff. But, I mean, these are, you know, kids. Yeah. But I think now people are like, all right, I think it's the love and the what's going on at this great thing at Colorado is wearing off. And I think people now for seeing what it's worth. Had he gone 10-2, yeah, but 4-8, and they weren't. And then Deion threw shade at his players because they weren't very good. So to me, it's Deion Sanders. I think a year from now, I think it's done. I think we're all over it. It was a great story. All the celebrities hopped on board. Heck, we were like, hey, this is great for football.
And I thought, oh, hey, he'll land a big job, whether it's his alma mater of Florida State or, you know, hell, I even said he could be up for Alabama.
That's right.
And now it's just like the act's getting old.
Well, we know coaches. And what do coaches love to do? They love to teach, right? We've talked to Chris.
I was going
to
say bitch, but
they like to do that. We talked to Chris Sanders about this. You know, the highlight of the job is teaching these kids. I don't think Deion wants to teach these kids. I don't think it's like, show up, go do your thing, and if
it's
you don't
about
win,
him,
yep,
and his two sons.
That's it.
Yeah, and that's really all he cares about.
Yep. All right,
maybe a handful of other players that he knows can make him money. Mine, I can't decide if, because one person already agrees with me, I can't decide if people are going to agree with this or if this is controversial. LeBron James. I think LeBron James' flame is starting to go out, and here's why.
Okay.
He's no doubt the greatest player in his generation. He is no doubt maybe, and this is one of those summer topics that sports radio will do, the greatest of all time, him and Michael Jordan. However you want to take that. And I take nothing away from him and what he's done in his career. Fantastic basketball player, no doubt. But I just feel like this whole Lakers thing where you can tell he's in control is just not working. You know, they won a championship. I get it. Albeit, it was the bubble year, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's always going to have some sort of asterisk, you know, with it. But I now he's run off another coach. You know, I thought Darvin Ham deserved a shot, and, you know, he's a good coach. And now there's reports that LeBron bristled at Darvin Ham's plan for him, so now he's gone. You know, Jeannie Buss is going to listen to anything LeBron does. And I just get tired of that stuff, you know. I just kind of get tired of a player, no matter how great they are, thinking that they have that much control and they're above the team. And it's just
– but who allowed that? The owners?
They allowed it. Look, no doubt. And the NBA's allowed it. But But now I've read articles about, you know, TV deals and stuff with the NBA is working on their next TV deal and that the NBA doesn't have a face anymore. And you know what? They really don't. Like, tell me who the face of the NBA is right now. It's not LeBron.
Oh, man.
They want it to still be LeBron, but it's not LeBron.
Who's the big goofy guy in Denver that can't guard?
Joker?
Jokic?
Yeah.
Who's the guy in Dallas?
Luka Doncic.
Who's this dude for the T-Wolves that's really good? And evidently he's like a good dude. Edwards?
Anthony Edwards?
Yeah.
Loved him on ER.
Yeah. Chase, you've been waiting that for months to get that
one
out.
I've used it three times this week.
Dude, that's a great question. Who's the face of baseball
Dr. Green,
now?
You watch the face of baseball is probably Shohei Ohtani.
They don't want him.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, but you know who should be the face of baseball? Mookie Betts.
Amen.
Yeah?
Mookie Betts should be the face of baseball. He's not, but he should be.
Okay. What are you going to say about basketball?
They don't have a face.
Man, that's a good one.
Like, it was LeBron for a long time.
I think it still is LeBron, though.
It by default, probably. Yeah. But, I mean, and look, you know what's funny? What kind of really stood out to me is I looked at his, you know, like this season he averaged 25.7 points a game, which is not much below his career average, which is pretty crazy to think about. Who would you say the face of the NBA is right now, Dr. Crane?
Face of basketball? I mean, basing it off talent, maybe Anthony Edwards with the Timberwolves or
– Right, but when I say face, I mean like the household name.
Oh,
it's LeBron. The jersey, like you own the jersey even though you don't like the team.
Yeah, LeBron. I mean, he's the generational guy that will be the face of the NBA for sure.
But he shouldn't be now. Like there should have been a passing of the torch and there hasn't been.
Right.
And that's on the NBA. Like, they haven't been able to find that next guy.
It was supposed to be Zion when he came into the league, but he just didn't pan out. That's how I perceived it.
It was supposed to be Zion. It was, you know, maybe Giannis for a while. You know, Luka has a following, but not to that point.
Yeah, Curry fell off in Golden State.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I obviously don't watch much NBA as I used to in the past, but my goodness, but – Yeah, so we got LeBron, Dion, Dr. Crane, you got one, and we got a few. One guy weighed in and said the baseball is flaming out.
I think baseball is actually coming back. I think with the rule changes that they made, like, you know, they're in a better spot than they've been in a long time.
I kind of agree with you on that, yeah, as well.
The Oakland A's are the modern-day Major League movie with the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, Chase, there's a few more on the text line that said LeBron. They agree with LeBron that the flame is burning out. I just
think people are kind of over him.
Well, that goes to your question is like flame is burning. There's not really that villain out there anymore in the sports world where you root constantly against because everybody has to want that clean and squeaky image for now. There's no really more, you know, bad boys out there because they know what it does long term off the court, ice, whatever.
Here's a great point from Tommy. And I agree with this. Could be Ja Morant if he would get it together. He's the most electric player in the NBA. I mean.
Oh, for the face, not
yeah,
playing
now,
it. Well, he's
playing in
it
Memphis. Playing in Memphis. I don't know if he becomes the face, but he would have been close to a household name if he could just get his stuff together.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a good point.
That's a great point. But now, I mean, that's just not – gosh, man, that's a – And that's the question that this came out of the one because of the flame. There's just not really the faces of sports that you go with anymore to do that. That's why with Dion, every time he does something, you know, it's always just magnified because he's the one out there that's kind of rubbing people the wrong way.
615-737-1025. Whose flame is burning out in sports? Can be any sport. And then I have another place I want to take this conversation. Coming up next in hour number two. Live today at Restore Habitat for Humanity of Sumner County, Tennessee. They are building playhouses, the Playhouse Project. We're sitting right by the Predators booth, and they're building a playhouse. It's fascinating to watch this right now here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.